Following interview was conducted with Gwen Daniels for the Purdue University Oral History Program. It took place on Monday, March the 10th, 2008, at a residence in West Lafayette. The interviewer is Catherine Marquis, the Oral History Librarian. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and your parents and siblings and early years.
That's a long story. I was born in Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas. My husband and I met at a Ouachita Baptist College in Arkansas. I was one of five siblings. We all had a bit of education past high school, but not all have degrees. I had a degree in home economics.
From a college or from high school? In high school?
No, in college.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Ouachita.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about campus and college life.
Just under 1,000 students. Mm-hmm. It was on the banks of the Ouachita River in Arkansas, a very scenic campus. Small, but in a college town, there were two colleges, Henderson State Teachers College and Ouachita. So we always had competition within the city.
Mm-hmm. Did you live at home?
No. Oh. I was some 30, 35 miles away from home. No, mm-hmm. I lived on campus. I lived in the dormitory.
Mm-hmm. What was campus life like? Were there any student clubs or activities or athletics?
Well, yes, there were sororities. I did not belong to a sorority, but there was lots of activity. It was a very friendly campus. We had a football team and basketball and a good music program. We had a good music department, so uh-huh. We had good music concerts.
Right.
And so forth.
People came?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's still a Mr. Maccabee of the in the political race now is a graduate of that.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Huckabee is Huckabee. All right, okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And did your husband go there as well?
Yes, we met there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He was a couple of years ahead of me, so when he graduated, he wasn't eager to get into military. This was in
what year would this
19,
have been?
40, I graduated in 1944.
Okay.
And he graduated a bit before I, and he wasn't eager to go into military, so he got a job in defense work. But he realized his number was coming up for military, so he joined the Air Force and then served as a pilot, B-24 pilot, for 2 years. We married when he was getting his wings, and I had taught a year.
After graduation?
That's right. Uh-huh. And then we were married, and that was the end of my professional life.
That's good. Was he in the European sector
he
or
was,
the Pacific?
His crew was waiting on the West Coast to go to Japan. VJ Day came, and he was able to get discharged. In fact, when they got the notice that they would be eligible to do that soon, I think he ran. He didn't walk. He ran to get his discharge. He was anxious to get back to school.
Right.
He wanted to go into. He had taken a liberal arts course first, but he was raised on a farm. I didn't tell you that. Mm-hmm. He was raised on a farm, and in his experience in the military said he made up his mind that he wanted to get into agriculture. So that meant he needed to get a science degree. So he came back to the University of Arkansas for a two-semester course and got his science degree. And his professor there said, young man, you need to go on and get your doctorate. And he said, I happen to know of a spot at Michigan State that you might enjoy. So it took us a short while to get moved to Michigan State, where he did.
What did you do while your husband was in the service? You were married then?
I taught that 1 year.
Oh, mm-hmm. While he was in the mm-hmm. service. Okay.
And then we moved around that last, most of a year that I was with him. He was moving a lot, it seemed.
When he was still in the service?
Yes, yes, which was a good experience for me.
Oh, yeah.
We were in Louisiana and Kansas and Idaho, and it was a rich experience for me.
Sure.
But anyway, he had the 3+ years at Michigan State, which we enjoyed very much. Had our two babies while we were there. Mm-hmm.
Did you do anything or just take care of the children while you were there?
I didn't work.
Okay.
I just took care of the children.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
what was it like up there at that? It's been the early 50s, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Michigan State, yes. We left there in 1950, so uh-huh. We had been there the 3.5 years prior to that. The campus was beautiful. Michigan State has a stream that runs through the campus, and they have a beautiful garden, beautifully maintained. We loved Michigan State. And
did you make some friends, too, while you were there?
Yes, and we still stay in touch.
That's mm-hmm. nice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michigan State was a joy for us. Uh-huh. But then we came to Intivided when he was getting his degree. He started listening for job opportunities and was invited to come to Purdue to, and that was, we came and visited in the month of March. It was murky and dirty snow and nothing much. I left Michigan State's beautiful campus.
To the red bricks.
So he liked the people he met. He was impressed. So it didn't take us long to make the decision to come here. And that was in the spring of 1950.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the Department of Agronomy?
Department of Agronomy for the turf work. Okay. Which, as you have already noted, there was a Dr. Mott, Gerald Mott, was doing some turf grass work, more like pasture work. I don't think he had connected it to football fields or soccer fields, but that's where Bill picked up and mm-hmm. kind of took Dr. Mott's
work. Tell us a little bit about when you arrived on campus, what housing and what was the campus like? A challenge.
Well, it's changed quite a little. We lived in with the two babies, a 2 and a 4 year old. We lived in the black and whites a few months. And
tell the researchers what that little experience was like, where they were located.
We were having a windy rainstorm, electric storm, and the wind was so strong that when I was in the kitchen, I felt like the refrigerator was falling toward me, and I tried to hold it, but I realized then it was the wall of the building that was giving way and kind of going back and forth.
Were these houses right close to one another?
Oh, yes.
Like side by side?
Like Cracker Boxes back then. That was down on the corner of Airport Road and State Street. We lived in there.
What was the noise level like? Could you hear through the walls?
Pretty much. In fact, we had the two children and the apartments were not air conditioned, so in the afternoon when they were needing their nap, upstairs was too warm, so they'd need to take their nap downstairs. And the neighborhood kids were so intrigued with these new little ones, they'd come to the windows and tap on the windows, and it was a friendly neighborhood.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was a good experience.
Yeah.
It really was.
Right.
It wasn't bad.
Right.
No.
And did he walk to work?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We had a car, but I think he, of course, he was just from the ag campus. That wasn't
too far.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he liked his work from day one. He just stayed very.
What was the department like? Was it smaller than it is now? And tell us a little bit about
you
that.
You know, I don't know what the count of the department.
Oh,
we came to town and Dr.
This is about 1950?
Uh-huh. Peterson, J.B. Peterson.
His name I recognize.
And his wife, Beth. They were such loving, caring people. I think we spent our very first night at their house, all four of us, children and all. They had two teenagers at that time. We had, the Petersons were so helpful, concerned for our welfare. And it didn't take us long to settle in that.
Sure. That made it nice.
Purdue housing. The Petersons were very special people, mm-hmm. very professional. He was, I think, a very capable department head, but their concern for the individual
which is nice.
Was outstanding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you moved and you got another place after a while.
We moved across town and bought a small house and lived there 4 years till we built a house west of town out near the apple farm.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
On Sharon Chapel Road.
Sure, mm-hmm. Okay.
And lived there 35 years.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Nice location.
Very good location.
Yeah, and handy mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of in the country at the uh-huh. same time.
At the time, that field across from where we built now is an apple field, I think, but it was had cattle in it. The big, I don't know what kind of cows they were. But my husband would say, this is the kind of farming I like. Sit in my living room and watch the cows.
Right. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your husband was the first turf professor at Purdue, and also about the prescription athletic turf that he mm-hmm. invented.
Well, the prescription athletic turf came as, I don't know just what year along the way, but it took a lot of work to get to that point, of course. But they, well, I think during the war, games, football fields and soccer fields and
was this World War II now?
World War II, and there was lots of work to be done to get those back, and people had time to think about and to participate. So there was a great demand for, and it stressed Bill to see high school kids playing on muddy fields. He said, there's just got to be a way that this could. So they started developing not only grass varieties that were adaptable, but getting the soil that would hold the grass under stress conditions like football players
sure.
produce. Right. It was a long, slow process to get all of this together. But there were lots of stages. There were, they invented some they developed developed the recipe for doing a soil that
right.
It had sand and it had the right
the mixture
mm-hmm. That made a more durable turf, and then they, of course, to get to the PAT system, that they developed a soil watering. They could water the soil from below. They even had a heating system that they could keep at a temperature that the grass would continue to grow. So it was a matter of developing varieties of grass
that could
and
do
the soil mixture that could accommodate that. So that's what the prescription athletic turf.
Mm-hmm. And was. Also another problem is the drainage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it rains or the snows mm-hmm. and they try to
drain. Oh, they
could drain
pump
it.
The water out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes,
yeah.
You're right.
That's a big challenge,
uh-huh.
you know.
That was really one of the bigger single, getting rid of the excess moisture.
Right. Mm-hmm. And did they try, and where did they do some experiments also? Did they start with Purdue, with Ross Aid?
No, Purdue's field was not the first one built. The first high school field was Goshen, Indiana. Bill knew the man that was taking care of that field. And the local school board agreed to let them do the experimenting there. And I remember we went up for that game on the PAT system. And
this was the first installation
uh-huh,
of Spot?
Uh-huh. And there were people here, though, from the Washington Redskins had heard about it, and they were out to watch that game. And then there was an experimental field in Michigan where we went, and it rained all day long. And the cheerleaders were standing, the field was okay, it drained as it should, but the cheerleaders were standing in water because they were outside the field. So it proved itself there. And there were several little trial runs like that before the bigger schools
right.
decided.
So he started out with the high schools rather than the college one.
Well, they, at least there was one, that school in Michigan was a, I think, a small college that I did. And I think the first big field was maybe the Redskins. I should have
That's okay.
made a list of those.
That's okay. But, you can always add those in afterwards, uh-huh. yeah. When did it come to Purdue? When did they put it?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, most of this time that I was busy with children and
right,
playing bridge
right.
and
doing
them.
Those kinds of things.
Oh, and
but it took a while.
I knew he
probably.
Was yes, I knew he was busy and really into this, but
Did he apply for patents at this time too? Did he get some of this patent?
Yes, there. I don't know when that patent was issued, but
he did get a patent for this.
Oh yes, through the Purdue Research Foundation. Right. They were very cooperative. He got to know the people that were in the patent office, and
they helped.
And there's one thing that Bill felt very proud of when he was applying for a patent. He learned that when a Purdue staff person got a patent, the proceeds went to the university. But that he was one of those inventors that helped to get that changed, and that at one time, I don't know what it is now, but at one time through their work, and it wasn't just his, but there were others.
Sure.
That a third would go to the university, a third to the inventor, and a third to the department from which it came. And that was, I thought, was the best thing, because he spent department time.
Sure. Right.
And we thought it was
right. Right, only fair, right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not very well informed about the patents, but...
But he did get, he had several.
Yes. Grass varieties, of course the big one was the PASS system. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When did some of the publicity start kicking in? And what was the reaction? A lot?
Well,
people?
I can show you two volumes of, there was lots of publicity, lots of...
Were you in on some of this when they would come for interviews?
Very little. I would go on trips with him to, if it was an area that I hadn't been to before and could manage. But his was always work. He didn't really have time for much play along the way.
Right. This used just in the United States, or was it international and others outside?
Well, now that's a good question. I jotted down the state of the countries that he has worked with. The letter that I have here, it's a wonderful letter from the man in Scotland, because they worked on the golf course in Scotland that's so famous. Bill has...
St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. They have collaborated quite a little. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. They've worked with Europeans, particularly the Scotch people. Europe, China, Japan, and we've been there a couple of times. Mexico, Poland, Saudi Arabia. Now, he hasn't been to Saudi Arabia. He's been to these other places. But he had communication and thought he would be going at one time, because they were planning a field, but he didn't get to do that.
What was it like in Japan? When did you accompany him to his trip to Japan?
Oh, yes. Well, he went once that I didn't go. I was with him twice in Japan and once in China. I have books like that from each of those trips.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. Was this mainland China or not Taiwan?
Mainland,
mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Japan, what sort of fields were they looking at? Athletic fields, whether it be high schools or college, or what sort of, did you look at some of these?
I think a variety.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The man that really got him started was a turf man, but his company had an office in New York, and somehow they learned about this, and I think that they were doing turf areas, not just on football field. Japan had limited space, of course.
Right.
So they would, we were on areas where the driving range, you would drive your ball from three of different levels. It was, you'd go upstairs. If that lower level was busy, you would move up. You'd still aim for the same field, the grass field, but you would, that's just how compact they were. So they were interested in saving space and yet getting, but they had beautiful fields. They
I bet.
Very proud of their golf.
Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, this turf, the PAT was used on not necessarily, not only on athletic fields, but also golf courses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's the putting greens were, that's where it would.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't really say that because there was another system, what did they call that, that had everything, but they didn't have the pumps to pump out the excess water. The PAT system really was football fields. I think I misspoke there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because it had to have electricity and it had, mm-hmm.
And any other countries that, what was your visit like to China? And what year was that? Was it some years back? So it's mm-hmm. probably changed a lot now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
Must have been one of the earlier years.
We were, you want to stop that and I'll get that.
Okay.
There were two trips to Japan, but the one to China.
To China, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, for our researchers, turf would be for grass. That's what the turf professor would mean. Is that, mm-hmm. were they selected that name? Or?
Turf is a form of, not a form of grass, but a term that is used. And yet, I also know that turf is used for horse racing.
Okay.
They're in the turf business too.
Right. Okay.
And that isn't necessarily grass, even though Bill did work on some horse racing
tracks.
Areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'd get interested in improving their turf and would talk with him. Mm-hmm. No, the turf grass is, I think, usually referred to as recreational turf.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about the William H. Daniel Turf Grass Research and Diagnostic Center that was named for your husband, and tell us a little bit about that center.
Well, that's, I think it kind of describes itself.
And where is it located?
That is out on Cherry Lane beyond the golf course clubhouse, very conveniently located so they can work together if they choose to do so. Bill was extremely pleased to know that that was...
Did that come as a surprise?
Actually, it didn't happen until after Bill died.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
the facility was there, but the naming was afterwards.
No, I think I'm a little slow in getting that put together because he was gone when they decided to do that. I think because I was the one that accepted the.
That's very nice.
It was a nice day because it was drew a lot of friends together, and it was
a nice occasion,
a
nice
happy
event.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us about the campus scenes in the 50s and 60s. What was campus like when you people came, and how it's changed?
Well, that time we came down for the interview, it was dirty snow on the black soil around Indiana, and that's all I could see.
Did you drive down?
Oh, yes, we drove down from Michigan State, and did stay in the Union. We thought the Union was a nice building, but it was hard to think that we would leave pretty Michigan, because we love the lakes up there, to come down.
In Michigan, right.
Uh-huh. To come down, and in March isn't Indiana's prettiest weather. But Bill liked what he was told.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we were treated warmly. The Petersons were wonderful hosts, and I don't think there was ever a day that we regretted being here.
Right.
I know he had some difficult days. You wouldn't.
We all do.
You wouldn't be making progress if you didn't, and right. I know that. But Bill loved his work.
What was Chauncey Village like? How that's changed over time. Chauncey Village? Or were there more stores? I've heard there were maybe some other retail that's
not
there today.
Yeah, I can't remember much about Chauncey Village back then.
Were there any restaurants? Of course, you were busy with the family, maybe.
Yes, I had the two children.
Sure.
We didn't do much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Were there some social events within the department?
Oh, yes. Oh, we had lots of social events. The Petersons were very sociable people. We did square dancing quite often, maybe kind of a monthly thing. And we were bridge players, And once we built our house in the county, we had a large 2-acre lot. We had lots of picnics, watermelon cuttings. We'd ask all of the turf students. They were at our home a lot, often.
It was nice for the children, too. They got to meet them.
Yes, our children grew up just loving that. Anytime there were former students in town, they would come and Bill would invite the newer ones. They have a nice, I was amazed when I got your message about doing this little work. I called one of the graduate students that, I don't know why I chose him, but anyway, in so doing, he was excited that I was having this opportunity. So he started calling the other graduate students, and I have heard from several of them, and they all making their little contributions. I wish I could ask you to read.
We can do that as an appendix. You can put that in when I send you the transcript. That would be fine.
It's really fun to have them.
Right, that will
their
be
critique
fine.
At this point, because most of them now are retiring, of course.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you still hear from a lot of them at Christmas time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I made this move here, and I made the move in the fall, and I sent all my mailing lists just a note that I was moving, and waited till I think the 1st of November before I mailed that, and I thought this will serve as my Christmas message.
Sure.
So I thought I just might. Then I didn't send Christmas cards, and I didn't know what that would be. I still heard from it. I lost a few that way, not sending Christmas cards. But no, I still hear from a goodly number of the former students. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that means a lot to me.
Right. It's good to keep in touch, because I know others that, when they get away, they do keep in touch, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And if they're in town or they come back for weekends or something like that, they touch base, and it's a family thing, and it's nice.
One of the very first graduate students that Bill had has been awarded the special doctorate award at Purdue, though.
An honorary doctorate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Honorary doctorate at Purdue. So that was...
That's very nice.
Bill doesn't know that, but...
He probably knows.
Yes, he does.
He knows. I think he really...
Yes,
you're right.
So the fellows have done extremely well. They have stayed in the profession. When I was going over this, that's the one thing that came to my mind. They're retiring now, right along.
Right.
But they have stayed in the turf world.
Uh-huh. That's very nice. Uh-huh. Yes. What did you participate in? Did you go to any of the athletic events while you were here?
Oh, yes.
Season tickets and all that
games.
Good stuff.
And we had basketball tickets for a number of years.
Right.
In fact, I thought I would keep the Bill had a bad heart those last years, and we gave up football tickets a few years before he died. But we kept basketball tickets. But I learned that I didn't enjoy either going by myself or working to get people to go with me. So I don't go to either now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on TV. Mm. It's okay.
I'm happy this week.
Right. I think so, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in retirement. What sort of things did you do after he retired? Did you do any traveling?
Some. I have a friend, Martha Hilst, her husband, was an agronomist. He, however, went into administration. He left the agronomy department. But the four of us had traveled a great deal. We both had two children. The eight of us went to Europe for 2 months one summer.
Oh, wow. And
yes. We didn't stay together all the time we were in Europe, but most of the time. But we went by ship. Left out of Quebec and sailed to Europe and back home. And
how old were the children?
Our children were 11 and 13, which was kind of a neat age. And theirs was, their boy was a year older than our children. But yeah, it was...
What a nice experience.
Yes. So we had had that experience of traveling together, and we continued to do things together as long as neither of our fellows are here now, but
keep in touch.
Yes. Oh, right. Indeed.
Does she live here too?
Yes, Martha Hilst. He's been gone.
I recognize the last name.
He was in administration, and yes, she and I see each other often.
Good. Does she live in Westminster as well?
No, she hasn't lived. She said, when I got a garage out here for her, she might. She hasn't made the decision to leave her nice big house.
Okay.
She lives across from Blessed Sacrament over here, a nice neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
A lovely home.
Okay. She keeps in touch. Well, yes. She's close by.
Oh, we, right. Yes. She called this morning. We're lunching together tomorrow.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good. Anything else you've been doing in retirement? No, of course, with the house, and you sold your house, but you kept pretty busy up until then.
I do volunteer work.
Good.
I spent a lot of time with Home Hospital. I did, I was hospital auxiliary president at one time. I managed the gift shop for a while, and I'm very involved in the hospital auxiliary work.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to continue on when they move?
No, I gave that up too some time ago. I started doing volunteer work for hospice. Are you familiar with a hospice program?
I know of it. What sort of things does this entail?
Well, usually when they're in the stages of their last stages of life, they need people to talk and to, just to be there and understand. And
Do you go to their home? Or
mm-hmm. You get assigned to certain people, and with some regularity you go. It's a wonderful program in that it's when the doctor can agree, and this is hard for professional people to do, to say we've done all we can for them, we'll keep them comfortable and keep them as comfortable and do as what we can without extending their lives unduly. And I approve of that so heartily that I really have volunteered in that area. I'm not doing that anymore now.
Okay. But, is that around? Do they provide round the clock service? You go to the house, or
there are hospitals or nursing homes that care for people like that. The ones that I cared for were in their homes as a rule. There was one nursing home that I visited some. Yes, it's where you can stay in your home if the family can deal with that.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And yet it gives kind of a semi-professional person there knowing what to do in
right.
situations.
And it frees up the people that
right.
they can do mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. Get out or do shopping mm-hmm. or something of that mm-hmm. sort.
But I loved golf. I played a lot of golf until just a few years ago. Okay. I wasn't good.
But you enjoyed the
but
game.
But I enjoyed it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And of course we have the opportunity of the symphony here and the
right.
music hall. I do not have music hall tickets now. I used to, but I haven't.
But you can get the ones that you want to go to. And mm-hmm. then they provide service. You can go back and forth.
Our bus takes us right to.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. You don't have to park, which is great.
That's right.
I know. How about an outstanding event in your life? Does anything special come to mind that you'd like to share with us?
Mm.
Or a favorite memory of Purdue, or both?
Mm. I don't know. What an outstanding one.
Or a favorite memory of Purdue, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it was awfully nice that they were recognizing these agronomists and kind of highlighting
I was going to ask
them.
About that. The legends is very nice.
Uh-huh. There were lots of nice things that happened along the way. Bill got, he kind of minimized it. He didn't dwell on it, but a lot of people appreciated him. Mm-hmm. But
that Legends was nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as I read through these letters, I'm just amazed at the things that people remembered to thank him for and to
yes.
And he would, the young man from Poland, just a Christmas note recent, not this Christmas, the one before, said that he was remembering when he was here with Bill. He was here with some company that brought him and some other Polish men to the country and let them take them to a university if they could get work. And this man from Poland worked with Bill as a technician for a year. And he was in agriculture over there, so he was happy to be in the life science building. And his memory, we've stayed in touch all this time, and he was telling about the time that Bill took him, if Bill had an extension meeting down at Terre Haute or Vincennes, or he would sometimes invite a student or this man along with him. And he was recalling that this one trip that he went on, and there was to be a dinner at the end, and he said to Bill, "I can't, I don't have, I'm not dressed, I can't, I don't have, oh, I guess he didn't have a tie on." So Bill said, "Don't worry, I'll just take mine off and we'll go together to this dinner." And I thought for him to remember that 30 years ago, that was
amazing what sticks in your mind.
It's kind of special.
Yes, it is.
And I think those things that I have heard that Bill has done that I didn't know about and had never heard before, I think maybe those are kind of the joys that I have enjoyed most.
Right. Good.
In my mature years.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Mm-hmm. Any closing comments for the researchers that you'd like to say? Anything comes to your mind?
If I could just go through my notes here.
Oh. Or you can append a couple of those.
I don't. We must talk about his secretaries. Can I do that?
Please go.
He had two secretaries. In the 35 years, he had two secretaries, one at a time. Kay House was the first, and she was a gem. She was very skilled at her secretarial work, but loved the students and had a real compassion for people with problems. And she worked until she had to retire. And then Kay House, the name slips me now, but the second one came in with a very different kind of person, and yet she filled that need. Really, the students adored her. The students liked both of the ladies very much.
Sure.
But a different kind of attitude. She was so good, and she was very skillful with Bill. He was tended to get overloaded with things to do, and she would somehow always be able to pull him out of it. I learned to appreciate both those women so much.
Uh-huh. All right. They're part of the team, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they seemed to like each other. At least they tolerated Bill very well, and he learned to really appreciate them.
So they worked good on both sides.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Anything else in closing? Anything that you can think of?
I don't know if that's... I found such satisfaction in the fact that he enjoyed his work so much.
Right. And enjoyed life.
He did.
Right, mm-hmm. Which is mm-hmm. nice. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And he didn't die unhappy. He was... it was easy for him to let go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because he no longer could do things physically.
Yeah. This concludes the interview, and I want to thank Mrs. Daniels very much for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.